Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 12. Generosity. Topic B. The Supreme Model of Generosity. After seeing that generosity is a condition of great sublimity that the Lord longs for His children to come to know and practice, we can also see that there are several aspects peculiar to the very practice of generosity that are highly necessary and relevant to be considered. And as a first consideration, we can say that the subject of generosity is closely associated with the theme of riches, for an action is only generous if a person gives something good to others or announces something helpful to others. No one is generous to other individuals when one gives, shares, or announces something that is not good or something that is deceitful to those toward whom one aims to practice generosity. Therefore, it is not appropriate that this type of individual is called generous, as the Lord teaches us through the prophet Isaiah, as follows. Isaiah 32, 5. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. In a second consideration about generosity, we may observe in practical life that there are many ways for people to manifest generosity, which may be done through aids that involve material goods or help that involves actions of support, assistance, and the sharing of something that is not necessarily related to a material good. In this variety of practices of generosity, we may also see that it may be the concession of something integral or partial, where a person may also grant something to others at cost or reduced price so that, in this way, one may help others in their needs. Nevertheless, as a third consideration, when we look at the example of God's generosity, we also see that His generosity more specifically refers to the practice of giving completely and freely what is offered or granted to people. And it is more related to this supreme model of generosity that we would like to continue focusing on this current topic, since the Lord Jesus Christ declared that it is a more blessed thing to give than to receive. As much as many people try to be generous with their fellow men, some of them are reluctant to the idea of effectively giving something free of charge to other individuals, under the allegation that if something is given freely, people do not value what is given or granted to them. However, it is precisely concerning giving that the Lord Jesus Christ also associates the expression "it is more blessed to give than to receive." As much as in some situations it may indeed be wiser to give something to people for a reduced price and not give it completely free, it is essential that the Christian knows that in the supreme model of the generosity of the Heavenly Father, one finds the model that effectively gives freely, not by price and not by reduced or partial price. One of the central reasons why the Lord is also the God of all grace. While there are situations where a person may be generous with other individuals by giving them items at a reduced or partial price, there are situations where the Lord also wants His children to be generous by sharing entirely free what they have to give or announce, for this is the model that they also find in the Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There are several gifts that a Christian receives to share in generosity with other people and for which one should never receive payment in return or share them for a price, such as the gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit in one's life for the benefit of one's fellow believers in the Lord. A subject addressed more widely in the theme "Every Good Gift and Every Perfect Gift." As much as many individuals claim that people do not value what they receive freely, there are many riches that can only be shared according to God's righteousness if they are also given entirely free of charge. Yet in other words, regarding a series of gifts in particular, if a person does not announce or share them freely, one turns away from what is righteous to be done in the eyes of God and from the example that the Lord gives about Himself, as follows. 2 Corinthians 9, 9. As it is written, "He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever." Thus, one aspect to which a Christian should be very attentive to share it in generosity, according to the supreme model of free concession that one has demonstrated in God, is the sharing of the proclamation of the truths of the gospel of the Lord. Since the Lord Himself, who is the provider of all that is offered in the gospel, does not offer His gospel for a price, but gives it freely, much less should a Christian do this so that one does not find oneself among those or does not come to be equated with those who become intrepid in evil to the point of trying to trade with the Word of God, with people's souls, and even with the lives of those they call brothers and sisters of faith. As seen more particularly and at the same time more broadly in previous chapters. There are many services and products that people produce or offer to their fellow men and for which it is perfectly lawful to charge an adequate price, for the Scriptures themselves declare that the laborer is worthy of one's wages. However, no person is authorized to charge their fellow men for the salvation offered by God or for the gift of the Holy Spirit and His manifestations granted for the spiritual edification of one's fellow believers in the Lord. If Simon, mentioned in previous chapters, was severely rebuked for wanting to buy for himself with money the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his heart, how reproachable is not anyone who wants to pass on to others for a price what is from heaven designated to be shared freely with all those who want to receive it. Paul, an apostle of Christ, regarding serving God in proclaiming the gospel of the Lord, declared. 1 Corinthians 9:18. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Since God, in His supreme model of generosity, established that the heavenly riches associated with His gospel should be granted to people not for a price, but rather freely, who is the human being or who are the people to say that what is given for free has no value or that people do not value what is given to them not for a price? What of all that is truly good, and to which human beings have access, was not freely given to them first? 1 Corinthians 4, 6-7. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? As we mentioned earlier, it is essential to highlight that the source of generosity and riches is the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Christian has nothing eternal to offer from oneself since one was also redeemed, by the grace of God, from sin and the despicable state one was in like any other person. From a merely natural point of view, the Christian is a fragile vessel like any other human vessel, and, in many cases, even more fragile, for God also chooses the weak things of the world to put to shame the strong. According to 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31. Therefore, the Christian's generosity is not based on what one oneself can naturally offer people but on the riches of God that strengthen a Christian, through which one is called to distribute, share, or make known the goodness of the Lord towards people on earth, but also to do so according to the supreme model of kindness that one finds in the Lord. Although helping people with material goods is an excellent practice in many cases, and a Christian is also called to do it according to the resources and different opportunities that are granted to him or her, we understand that it is also worth noting at this point that in terms of sharing what should be shared freely, a Christian is called to dispense or be a steward of the mysteries of God as the Lord requires these mysteries to be shared. And to share the so-called mysteries of God, a Christian may not even need to have an abundance of material riches to bless others, for the proclamation of salvation and life in Christ is the greatest riches and mystery to be offered to the world and shared with others. Let us recall below some texts that clarify some points about the so-called mysteries of God and what is the position of the stewards regarding them, texts concerning which we suggest once again special attention. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. Let a man so consider us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Ephesians 1, 7-14. In Him, Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Colossians 1, 26-27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2, 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. 1 Timothy 3, 16. And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. 1 Peter 3, 14-17. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Thus, although it is good and proper for Christians to be generous to others through material riches in various situations, their participation in Christ's witness and support for God's gospel to be known is even more important. And this, because when it comes to sharing material goods, even the people of the world do it, but sharing the proclamation of Christ in us, the hope of glory, from a personal experience and in a free manner, is something that only genuine Christians know and can do. In its living and walking in the grace of the Lord, the Church of Christ, that is, the people who individually believe in Christ and are connected with Him without mediators, is primarily called to make known the manifold wisdom of God, which, in turn, is the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. And to give testimony about Christ, Christians can do even under conditions where they themselves do not have plenty of material abundance and since they themselves received salvation by grace and not by price. Whoever has Christ in one's heart is fortunate or rich even if one may be poor in the eyes of the world. Revelation 2, 9, a. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. Even under conditions of limited natural resources, many Christians can cooperate widely to make God's riches known, for the main riches a Christian is called to share is not according to the riches of the world, but according to the inexhaustible kingdom of God. When a poor man has a need met by the grace of God, or gives glory to the Lord of one's life in all circumstances, One demonstrates the riches and goodness of God far more than the rich man who thinks he is self-sufficient and who has no heavenly riches to share, as we have seen previously and according to some texts that we remember below. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness, than vast revenues without justice. Psalms 37:16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Given this, we may notice more widely how precious it is to know or understand that generosity is also expressed as a result of God's life in a person's heart, and that sharing the riches of the heavenly kingdom is the most central aspect in the practice of generosity, even if a person cannot share material goods in abundance. On the other hand, or since generosity or the free granting of gifts is a characteristic that exalts God and His kingdom, it also becomes one of the targets that the powers of darkness and the world subject to darkness most seek to denigrate and resist intensely and persistently. The powers of darkness and the world subject to darkness insistently seek to disdain generosity in the most diverse ways. The powers of darkness despise or consider as an object of scorn and mockery all that is generously given. The darkness despises that which is given freely for the good of people, for the powers of darkness have nothing good to offer, nor do they intend any good for people. Since God offers His counsel or wisdom for free, if a person does not know to receive things for free or according to the generosity towards him or her, one will also restrict oneself from reaching the Lord's advice for one's life. And this is precisely one of the targets sought by the darkness for people who listen to them. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Plus. James 1:5-6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Thus, in cases where the powers of darkness succeed in blocking the understanding in people's hearts about generosity, both concerning receiving and sharing gifts, they also succeed in keeping many of these people under blindness and oblivious to the knowledge of the riches of the glory of Christ. Several people think that receiving something for free is a demonstration of weakness. In reality, however, the resistance to recognizing that there are many gifts that can only be received for free is what expresses a lack of wisdom and understanding even about the most basic aspects of how life works. A point that also because of this is considered in the scriptures as blindness. If we go back to the example where some people insinuate that the advice offered for free is not good, we may observe that this cogitation is entirely impracticable. That is, if all the counsels given not for a price were not good, every human being would have to throw away everything that parents taught them as children, for thousands of instructions that parents gave their children were given to them for free or by the generosity of parents towards their children. Furthermore, the natural life that a person has at this moment is only given to him or her because of the living and present generosity of God at this very moment. Take away the present working of this generosity, and life is instantly gone. Isaiah 42:5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Isaiah 2, 22. Sever yourselves from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Therefore, contrary to the positions of those who are opposed to what is given according to the generosity of God because they think that receiving something weakens them, God declares, and Paul confirms, that it is because of what is freely given that a person can be strong. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Looking at it from yet another perspective, if a counsel of God had to be paid for, there would not even be enough riches in the world to pay for it, as we have also seen in previous chapters. God does not charge for his advice and the breath of life he gives human beings because the Lord is love and loves all people. And in turn, because he loves them, he is generous to them. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is impossible for a world without generosity to survive. God is constantly generous. And without his generosity, the universe would instantly stop. Psalms 104, 24-33. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, or riches. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about, there is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them they gather in, you open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled, you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, may the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth, and it trembles, he touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Job 34, 14-15. If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. God's grace, or his generosity and goodness, sustains all life in heaven and on earth. And all heavenly good shared is given to human beings by heavenly kindness. Considering yet on the last aspects exposed above, it is facilitated, then, once again, to understanding the reason why the powers of darkness so much aim to corrupt or defile people's knowledge of God's generosity, for God's very generosity can never be compromised and corrupted. Jude 1, 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In all generations, there are individuals who want to introduce themselves among the people with the intention of transforming the grace of God into shame, into contempt, sometimes perversely saying that God, because of grace, does not see sin, or sometimes corruptly saying that God's grace is not generous but must be earned by human works, by offerings of riches, or money. If we ask, however, what is the work of human godliness that a newborn child has done for God that accredits this child to receive the breath of life? And, of course, the answer is, none. Thus, the essence of all life is surrounded by generosity. Nevertheless, we have also seen that the one who serves riches will despise and act against God. Which, obviously, also includes opposition to the virtues of God, and among which generosity is also especially highlighted in everything that the Lord does for people's lives? When a person announces God's grace in a distorted way, one is trying to make generosity outrageous and disgusting so that one's greed or avarice is not highlighted and one is not challenged also to behave generously. And the greedy or avaricious person does not act generously even when one gives something to others, for what he says one gives to others, one gives it in the sense of charging some bargaining return in the sequence. Psalms 10, 3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Isaiah 1, 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel, they have turned away backward. Proverbs 23, 6-7. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink. He says to you, but his heart is not with you. Therefore, someone adopting the conduct of charging sacrifices of works, labors, earthly objects, offerings, and tithes in exchange for God's grace is a practice that aims to transform the understanding of God's grace or generosity into dissoluteness, offense, and a stumbling stone for many, according to the text that we have already mentioned and repeat below. 2 Peter 2, 1-3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Many people see with contempt receiving something for free or giving something for free, not paying attention or not wanting to stick, however, to the fact that their dissolute and perverse practice regarding God's generosity is precisely the posture of not receiving or not sharing the gospel of God according to the grace and generosity of the Lord. Those who despise the action of receiving or announcing the gospel for free often do so to justify their evil acts by which they try to charge for the gospel and make their followers their objects of commerce and perverse profit. We have already seen that several dissimulators or false teachers are daring to the point of considering those who they claim to be their fellow believers, the sons of God bought by the blood of Christ, as objects of their commerce and their most varied and creative ways of plundering others' lives. Acting in the sense of trying to twist the truth into a lie, generosity into obligations of works and sacrifices of material riches, or grace into commerce or trade is a lot of boldness in evil. However, dissolution or dissimulation is just like that. That is, it is audacious to render itself to evil because of the love of money, the fascination of riches, and for choosing earthly treasures for the heart instead of choosing God as the true and eternal treasure. The so-called libertine or destructive practices or ways, mentioned by Peter, and which are opposed to the true grace and generosity of God, even though they may be presented adorned with fictitious or feigned words of wisdom or even humility, represent an expression of the objective of destruction and shipwreck in ruin, as we see below in the commentaries associated in the online Bible with Strong's Lexicon. Destructive or libertine ways. Apolia, which, among other points, means 1. Destroying, utter destruction. 2. Act of destroying vessels. 3. A perishing, ruin, destruction, for example, of money or even the destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. For human beings, the gospel of God is the greatest riches existing at all times and in all places, but at the same time, it is also the most generous offer offered at all times and in all places. And for this reason, too, the gospel is the object of so much opposition from those who do not love the generosity of the propagation of the gospel of God according to heavenly grace. God offers the unfathomable riches of His gospel to all human beings, poor or rich, without distinction of race, culture, language, or location. However, God also offers His gospel to everyone without any distinction of price, for it is only through personal faith in the Lord's grace that a person can have access to what the Lord has promised to give according to His generosity and according to His gospel. Whether for the rich or wealthy, whether for the poor or even the miserable, the gospel of God is given equally to all, not for a price, but by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus. We remember here, however, the warning declared by the Lord that the rich are more likely to trust in their riches than to set their hearts in the Lord. Furthermore, we believe it is necessary to highlight here again the importance of not confusing generosity with the value of what is given through grace, for the gospel of God, because it is freely given according to the goodness of God, is not ragged, poor, weak, of little value, and nor is it a cheap offering. The gospel of God is the offer that had the highest cost in the universe to be granted. It is the offer that had the price of the Son of God coming in the flesh into the world as the Son of Man and killed with all His blood shed in a death on a cross. And precisely because something so precious is offered by grace, it is also the greatest expression of generosity in the universe, something that the destructive ways resist accepting and propagating. The fact that something perfect, priceless, excellent, and truly good is given or granted by grace exalts and ennobles even more what is being offered, but it also exalts and ennobles the giver of the so high gift. Thus, it is God that people mock, despise, and oppose when they try to belittle the proclamation, acceptance, and bestowal of the gospel of God according to the generosity of the Lord. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the riches. When people try to assign a human price to the gospel of God, they try to depreciate the understanding of the immeasurable generosity of the Lord. However, as the gospel of God is a heavenly gift that cannot be acquired by money or any other natural or human riches, people who run after the gospel through the resources of the earth are always instigated to add sacrifice to sacrifice, offering to offering, tithe upon tithe, failing, however, to achieve anything they truly need for the true and eternal good of their souls. Putting the previous paragraph in other words, we ask, for what value or set of values on earth could someone buy something whose value exceeds the entire global set of values on earth? That is, the previous question is meaningless or rhetorical, showing us that this is also why the gospel of Christ is generously given, for it is priceless according to the resources that there are on earth. In this way, when someone wants to impose an earthly price on the gospel of the kingdom of God, this is also when one is trying to denigrate what is immeasurable. And it is also in this way that one is trying to reduce it to an earthly measure, doing so, often, by the resistance of simply not recognizing God's generosity and goodness towards one's life. Therefore, again, resisting God's generosity and goodness is compared to paths of destruction or shipwreck in ruin, as it expresses contempt for the only true, firm, and eternal help that all, without distinction, need. Romans 3:21-24. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Resisting God's generosity and goodness is an act of pride for the very destruction of the people who remain in it, For if an individual wants to reduce the gospel of God to the price of earthly things, this cheapened gospel, which many insist on trying to create, will never be able to pay for a salvation that is eternal. And if someone tries to depreciate the gospel, by seeking to equate it to earthly prices, one is declaring with one's attitudes that the gospel one preaches will not, in the end, be able to save oneself or save those who have adhered to it. And this type of gospel that many preach is not the true gospel but the so-called another gospel or a different gospel. A subject addressed in more detail in a specific theme. If a proposal or offer has an earthly price, it can only conquer things according to the earthly price, which, however, and if they last long, will subsist at the most until they are destroyed along with the present natural world. This is why Peter also warned Simon, who wanted to buy the gift of God, that his money was for the destruction of his life if he did not come to repent of wanting to obtain the gift of God through earthly riches. And at this point, one might even think that the approach to the theme of the Christian and riches, and even more about generosity, perhaps should be milder and only speak of the virtues and wonders of God's riches and his generosity. However, this would not be honest and complete, for it is also necessary to know that God's generosity is very strongly resisted and fought for the purpose of corrupting people's understanding of it to, ultimately, keep people separated from the mercy, kindness, and grace of the Lord. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Additionally, something very valuable also has its value revealed by the opposition it suffers and by the desire that its opponents have to seek to belittle, steal, or destroy it because it annoys those who want to profit from their works done under darkness and not under the light of God. Thus, the devil always seeks to oppose God's gifts to human beings, for God's gifts are given for the freedom of life of those who receive them. Liberty that the devil and those who serve themselves, according to their own understanding, do not want others to achieve and live. The devil did not want the Lord Jesus Christ to give his life in generosity to free people subject to darkness. The devil insistently tries to resist the gifts that truly deliver people, as shown by the Lord Jesus Christ also in the following text. Matthew 16:21-26. From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" In this last text, it is very interesting to note that the Lord Jesus Christ was not telling his disciples to deny themselves because he wanted dominion over their lives, but he was telling them this because he, the Christ, was the only way for them to become free and find true newness of life. That is, the disciples had nothing to offer Christ for the salvation of their souls. There was nothing in themselves, nor in the whole world, that could be given in exchange for the salvation of their souls, showing us once more that salvation and the newness of life according to the will of God cannot be purchased with earthly resources, but only be received through the love and grace of the Lord. By instructing his disciples on how they could find life according to God's eternal purpose, the Lord Jesus Christ was not asking for people's lives as the resource, wealth, or price to obtain salvation. On the contrary, he was teaching people how vital it is to give up their lives apart from God to receive, by grace, the newness of life offered by God or the life bestowed in spirit and truth. The Lord did not tell people to trade their old lives with God in exchange for a new one. Instead, he said that those who want to follow him need to deny their lives in their old condition so that they can receive the new one. Therefore, nothing on earth can be given in exchange for the newness of life in Christ, not even the very life of the individual who wants the novelty of life in God. Or yet, the newness of life in Christ is a gift given wholly or entirely through the generosity of the Heavenly Father. No one has merit to receive the newness of life in Christ. No one can give anything in return for it. The novelty of life in the Lord is granted as a gift from God to those who believe in Him and receive the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus as an expression of the Lord's generosity. Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. John 1:10-16. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. In the face of all this, we can see then that one of the essential aspects of understanding the theme of generosity is the understanding that we have nothing to offer God in exchange for salvation, not even ourselves. And heavenly salvation was already provided by God in Christ Jesus long before we were even born. It was already appointed by the Lord from or even before the foundation of the world. In other words, grace, goodness, salvation, generosity, and so many other gifts from God are offered to us long before we have even done something good towards God, but because God loved us first. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. And if not even our life is a bargaining chip to obtain the gift of salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the heart, how much less, then, are not the other things or the riches of the world? For this reason, the gospel of God is the gospel that announces that an eternal, priceless, and immeasurable price has already been paid, or that a superior and perfect sacrifice has been made once and for all, so that the liberation and salvation of people could be carried out precisely by the generosity, grace, and goodness of God. The gospel of God is the offer that announces and offers itself without the need for a set of useless rituals and offerings that try to achieve what they cannot achieve. And generosity itself is an aspect of the essence of the gospel that, in turn, also has as its essence the righteousness already manifested in Christ Jesus through the grace of God towards all human beings. Hebrews 7:18-19 and 22-28. For on the one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect; on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. By so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And if anyone still thinks that human works or riches are necessary to reach the righteousness and grace of God, we recall here once again that not even the broad system of sacrifices and offerings of the law of Moses practiced for thousands of years could obtain the grace of God, a system that only led to the demonstration of what from the beginning was already announced by God about it. That is, the Lord's announcement that human offerings could not and never can acquire the eternal gift of God in Jesus Christ, one of the central reasons why this ancient system was also revoked. According to Hebrews 7:18-19 and 10:1, and also widely discussed in the themes the gospel of the righteousness of God and the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. And if thousands of years of sacrifices, offerings, and tithes could not produce redemption and salvation of people from the yoke of sin, for it is not by these things that the favor of God and his righteousness are obtained, it is not now, after grace has already been revealed, that someone can do it through one's human riches or money, no matter how much one tries to sophisticate one's sacrifices, offerings, or tithes and adds the most varied promises to these destructive practices. Therefore, for those who want to exercise generosity and experience the condition that it is more blessed to give than to receive, it is crucial to understand the basic and fundamental aspects of God's generosity so as never to incline again or fall back into the sacrificial systems that seek to purchase the generosity of God toward them, and which, thus, oppose or resist the grace of the Lord. When a person becomes dissociated from the fundamental principles of God's grace and generosity, one does not understand that carrying out God's will is the result of knowing God and His goodness. It is the fruit of first receiving the fruit of the Holy Spirit in one's life. And because of this, one is subject to mistakenly thinking that the accomplishment of the Lord's will could result from the efforts of the flesh to fulfill this will. Once again, how much did a newborn pay to be born? What is the amount someone paid to receive the breath of life given by God? How much did anyone in the world pay for the Son of God to come into the world in the flesh and die on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for him or her? And if the Lord bestowed all natural life out of generosity and without demanding natural payments for it, why would God demand material and human things for spiritual life that cannot be purchased with a price or earthly things? Given this, Paul still exhorts us that the kind of thinking that wants to associate price or human works with the grace of God is foolishness and vile fascination or enchantment. Galatians 3:1-5. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Concluding, then, this topic, we highlight that the generosity of a Christian is a consequence of the life of Christ in this Christian. It is the fruit of the love of God, the heavenly kingdom in one's heart, and of listening to God's voice and instruction, and not the so-called generous sacrifices offered to try to buy God's favor. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are a spirit, and they are life. Jeremiah 7, 22-24. For I did not speak to your fathers, or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Hebrews 10, 5-7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. God wants people to be generous from the eternal source of generosity and to bear witness to others what they first received from Him, through His grace, so that the Lord's generous glory may be known so that others too may come to know that they can receive it and how can they receive it. It is the wisdom and heavenly understanding of the generosity that they first received in their lives by the grace of the Lord that God wants His children to make known among people, peoples, and nations. To be generous according to God's generosity is to give and share as God shares, that is, by grace and not by price. And for those who do this, it can also be said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. God wants people to be generous because they have received God's love and because they see in Him a holy, righteous, or upright way. God wants people to be generous because they are pleased with God, the eternal Creator of their lives, and because they love and appreciate His eternal and unfathomable glory. God wants people to live and walk in the truth because it is the truth. God wants people to live and walk in goodness because they choose what is right to be followed in life. The way in which they will also reap according to the righteousness that is in the Lord. 3 John 1, 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Therefore, when the Scriptures teach us that the grace of God is the way for the gifts of the heavenly kingdom to be granted by the Lord to people, they are also teaching that the Lord's generosity or goodness is the supreme model or the way for the children of God to be likewise generous and to announce the riches of the heavenly kingdom to the world. Ephesians 5, 1-2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.